are listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Good Wednesday show for you. Going to do something a little bit different because I'm behind on a lot of shows. And I'm going to be behind even more next week because by the time you're listening to this, I'm headed to the airport to go to Las Vegas for first weekend of March Madness like I do every season for the last, I think, since 2018, 2019. So I'm not going to catch anything. I did not watch Deal or No Deal Island on Monday, which I'm disappointed about. I did not watch Vanderpump Rules last night. I'm just very, very behind. So what we're going to do today, just going to update a little bit on Bachelor World and stuff, the schedule for the rest of the week. And then I'm going to read some reader emails because I said I was going to have a reader email column today, but we only have seven of them. So I don't really know if it's worth it to put that in a column. Maybe I'll answer them but I'm going to do those over the podcast today. So we will get to all that momentarily. Now, nothing new to report in regards to The Bachelor, and obviously the question I'm getting asked a lot is Bachelorette. Here's what I can say, and it's what I said last week. They've chosen their Bachelorette. I just don't know who it is, but I know they've chosen them, and at the latest, we're going to find out on Monday at the After the Final Rose. I don't see why they would announce it after Monday, unless it gets out this weekend. I don't think they're going to announce it this weekend. My guess is they are going to announce their next Bachelorette at After the Final Rose, like they do a lot of the time. Gabby and Rachel announced at the After the Final Rose. Zach was announced on Charity's After the Final Rose. I mean, we see it all the time. Clayton was announced on an After the Final Rose because you never know. They might do something different. Now, I talked about this on Courtney Robertson's podcast today. You know, the last couple seasons, or two of the last three seasons, they've tried to mix it up a little bit and give you something a little bit different on that After the Final Rose. Remember, Zach had his, they brought five women out, and then America got to vote for who got basically the, it wasn't the first impression rose, but they were safe at the first rose ceremony. I think that Brianna girl, remember, she won it. And then last season, or this past season with Joey, they did the whole thing with, hey, we're going to give this woman out of the audience a card, and she can't open it until night one. So we got that with Leia this past season. So my guess is they're probably going to try something different. Maybe they bring out the five guys, and the Bachelorette will meet the first five guys. But I fully expect the Bachelorette to be officially announced at the After the Final Rose this upcoming Monday night on the finale. You know, it's going to be a two-hour regular taped version of what we saw down, or what happened down in Mexico, and then they go to the live show. They're going to intersperse live segments in that first 2 hours, and then the last 2 hours we'll get to hear from Daisy for the first time, and then they'll bring Kelsey out. We'll see Joey and Kelsey as a couple for the first time. But my guess is they are announcing The Bachelorette on After the Final Rose. I just don't see why, because from everything I've been told, filming starts next week. So you got to announce The Bachelorette before filming starts, right? So keep that in mind. Like I said, they have chosen it. I can't obviously tell you how I know this, but I do know, and trust me, I've been trying to find out, and I just don't know. If I find out, I could, you know, even when I'm out of town, obviously, I'm still on my phone. I can definitely find out, and if I find out, I will tweet it out and put it on my Instagram stories and on my Instagram feed. So keep that in mind. It could come at any minute, so be on your toes, and be following me on my socials, because that's really the only way I'm going to, you know, I will announce it as soon as I can. And then obviously I'll talk about it on my podcast if and when I get it. And you know my thoughts. Like, I don't think you can go wrong with either Daisy or Maria. I really don't. You're going to get two different seasons. I think Daisy is more of the safe pick, and Maria's kind of like the Caitlyn 2.0. So you can't go wrong with either one. Daisy, if we're going to compare her to a past Bachelorette, maybe, I don't know, someone like Dez. And Maria, to me, is Caitlyn 2.0. So you can't go wrong with either. We've seen people like them in the lead role in the past. So it makes the most sense that they're going to choose one of those two women. I know people are clamoring for maybe Jen or Lexi, and they did have good edits on the Women Tell All. But I felt like Jesse asked Lexi the same exact thing he asked Jen, the same exact thing he asked Rachel. So what's next for you? And all three of the women said, like, talked about, well, I like to meet my man, and I'm, you know, put myself out there and stuff like that. Like, when he asks all three, how can you distinguish, oh, this is the one they want for Bachelorette? He asked Lexi, Jen, and Rachel the same exact thing. What's next for you? So if it was, you know, one of those three that was going to be the next Bachelorette, you would think he would only ask one of them, you know? I don't know. My guess is, like I said, Maria and Daisy have dominated the headlines this whole season in terms of social media clout. And yes, it plays a role. When you have two women that are over 500,000 followers, clearly putting them in that role, they have a bigger fan base than, I haven't looked at Lexi and Jen's numbers, but I don't think either one of them are over 100,000 followers. I could be wrong, but I don't think they are. And when you've got two women that are over five times more than Lexi, Jen, and Rachel, I just don't see why you would choose that. And you'd be like, well, it's not about followers. Well, to this show, it is. It's about popularity. It's about getting eyeballs on their lead and on their show. And if you pick Maria or you pick Daisy, you've got a woman who's got, either woman has got 500,000 people already that are interested in their story. So that's why I don't think you can go wrong with either of them. It's going to be probably one of them. I don't see why it wouldn't be. But as soon as I know, I will fill you in and let you know. But I wanted to get to some reader emails because, like I said, I have not watched Deal or No Deal Island this week. I did not watch Vanderpump Rules this week. Survivor is on tonight. I don't have a DVR in the hotel room, so I don't know if I'm going to watch Survivor or not tonight. I might not. I'm not sure. But the next 2 days, I will be recording from my hotel room. Wednesday nights is Thursday morning show, and Thursday night is Friday morning show. So I will be recording. I will keep you updated on any new news. There'll probably be shorter shows just because I don't think I'm going to have as much to talk about in Bachelor World. And I will, although anything I hear, I will relay on the podcast. But I did want to get to your reader emails today and go over. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 of them, but some of them have more than one question in them. So let's just get to these, all right? Hey, Steve, not a question, more of a comment. I found it hypocritical that Joey was telling Daisy that he wants someone to choose him and he wants his woman to feel chosen. How exactly is one of the women supposed to feel that way when there are still 3 women left and he is deciding? That whole discussion was a little odd to me, especially since Daisy isn't his choice. I guess the best way to answer that question is every season has to have some sort of theme. And how many times have we heard Jesse Palmer, either in interviews or even on the Women Tell All, talk about Joey's biggest concern this year is not being chosen, which is kind of a ridiculous thing if you really want to break it down, because Joey is the 28th Bachelor. Outside of Susie to Clayton, how many women got to the end of the season, were chosen by the Bachelor and said, nah, I'm good, dog? Susie's the only one. Like, every time a Bachelor chooses somebody at the end of this thing, they choose him back. So it's just kind of word salad. It's rhetoric. They're trying to just make the audience think that Joey ends up alone. I mean, that's been the focal point that they've trying to be, the narrative that they've been trying to push based off of, you know, how many times have they shown that ending scene of him standing at the altar and walking away and taking his jacket off and focusing on the fact that there's still one rose sitting there on that little mantle. They're making you think that he leaves alone and nobody loves him back. And it's just editing. It's just trying to trick you. And look, a lot of the audience is fooled by it, trust me, because I'm still getting emails about what's that final scene about, even though I've already explained, you know, what it is. That's between Daisy and Kelsey. That's after Daisy comes and ends the relationship with him first and leaves on her own. And he's obviously sad because he cares for Daisy. And every lead usually cares for the person that's in the final two spots. So it makes sense for him to be a little bit upset and bothered that, you know, she left. And he's probably sad in the way it went and the way it went down because he's breaking somebody's heart. And she knew it, even though she's the one telling him, I know you're not picking me, still would hurt if you care for somebody. So, and I'm sure Joey did care for Daisy. So that's what I mean. It's just, it's tricky editing. And, you know, all season they tease this letter like, ooh, we need to talk. Seriously? And it ended up being Kelsey saying, I missed you. So again, I'll say it now, but it'll fall on deaf ears. It'll go in one ear, out the other. But when next season's Bachelorette airs its first preview for the season, I guarantee you there will be something in there that they hype up to be a big deal, and it'll end up being a big giant nothing burger just like Kelsey's letter was. Longtime reader and now daily listener. I have really enjoyed the daily podcast. My question is personal, so I understand if you don't want to answer. But prior to your new diagnosis, you mentioned having the dark circles under your eyes. Have you noticed improvement in that with your medication and lifestyle change? I'm asking because I refer to my brother to have dead eyes, so when I heard your story, I thought about my brother and his possible need to get into his doctor. One thing that's I've been really proud about is the fact that ever since I have spoken out about being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I have had a lot of you reach out to me and thank me for kind of opening your eyes and maybe saying, like, I need to get to the doctor, not necessarily because I think I have diabetes, but just to take care of better, you know, take better care of my body. Some people are just saying, I just needed a kick in the butt. Thank you for saying that. As for the dark circle question, I don't know, because I probably should have taken a picture pre versus where I am now. It's only been 12 days, so I don't think there's probably been major improvement in my dark eye circles, but I don't know. I probably need to take pictures, because that's really going to be the only way to tell. Because, you know, when you see yourself in the mirror every single day, you don't notice changes all that much. You only, when you see it every day, but then, like, you know, when people are going through a weight change or a strength training program, you take a before picture and an after picture, you totally see that. But when I've done that in the past, on a daily basis, you don't know the change. But then you look at month one versus a picture in month three, and you're like, oh, I see the change, yet you don't see it daily. So same with me with my eyes. I would need to take pictures. And thank you for telling me to do that. So I'll probably go do that today and see where I am now and then look at them in 3 months. But I don't know. Maybe it's a genetic thing. My grandfather had them. I know that. So maybe it is a genetic thing. I'm not sure. And I'm never going to get rid of them. It would suck because I don't like them, but I would think it would help. I would think cutting out sugars and sodas and all that and just constantly drinking water and just getting in better health, I would think that would improve the colors under my eyes, but, you know, I don't know. I swear this is a real email. I'm going to read it exactly how it came to me in my Instagram DMs. Hey, reality, what are you trying to pull? Tell us the real winner. Don't guess. This is bad for my resident Mary's heart. She's 78 and freaking out about the winner. Okay, number one, I'm not guessing. Number two, who's resident Mary? And I don't understand. I don't know. I don't really understand this, but no, I'm not guessing. I'm not trying to pull people's chain here. Like, for 3 months, I thought it was Daisy. I had wrong information. It is Kelsey. That is the real winner. I'm not guessing. You will see that next Monday night. This podcast brought to you by Earth Echo Foods and their healthy feel-good superfood product, Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy the rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you're doing something good for your body. It's truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate. Who doesn't like guilt-free chocolate? Just put one scoop in a glass of water, in a glass of milk, in your smoothie, even in your baked goods. It doesn't matter. As a listener to this podcast, you can receive an additional 15% off exclusive offer when you visit shop.earthecofoods.com/realitysteve. Use promo code realitysteve. That's an additional 15% off when you visit shop.earthecofoods.com/realitysteve. Use discount code realitysteve. This podcast is also brought to you by Mint Mobile. The best deal in wireless is at Mint Mobile. It has wireless plans starting at $15 a month. That's unlimited talk and text plus data for $15 a month. Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly phone bill. Mint Mobile gives you the best rate whether you're buying for one or buying for a family. And at Mint, families start at 2 lines. Switch to Mint Mobile and get your first 3 months of premium wireless service free, starting at $15 a month. Let me repeat that. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/realitysteve. That's mintmobile.com/realitysteve. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/realitysteve. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Continuing on with your emails. Hey, Steve. Love is Blind reunion. How the hell did they get Trevor to show up? Matthew somehow got out of it. Trevor looked like a little kid who pissed his pants and asked the teacher to be excused. You mentioned negative audience reaction to Nick and Vanessa in the past. This was due to Vanessa pushing the couples to have babies multiple times at a past reunion, and it rubbed people the wrong way. Trevor, I'm just guessing, like I said, about my opinion of him is he is just a guy that wants to be on reality TV. You could tell, like, I have a feeling, you know, we already know he's on Perfect Match 2. This is a guy that I could see on The Challenge. This is a guy I could see on, you know, the House of Villains in the season 3. Like, he seems like a out for fame and going to be a reality TV lifer. So that's what I think of him. So it probably wasn't very hard to get him to show up. As for the Nick and Vanessa thing, like I said, I read in the past that people were upset with them. I didn't know that was it. So If that's what Vanessa was doing, yeah, probably not the smartest thing in the world to do, Vanessa, is push people for babies. But I thought they were good in the last one, in this season six reunion. I thought they were a lot better and went a lot better than, you know, the Women Tell All. Now, granted, it was an hour and a half straight with no commercial breaks. So I think if you took up all, you added up all the minutes that we saw of actual Women Tell All on Monday night, definitely wasn't an hour and 30 minutes, probably half that. Survivor March Madness. When you select your bracket, is your goal to win $1 million or 1 million hearts? How will Banu measure how he was doing on the hearts, Instagram followers? As I am about 10 years older than you, I don't know if you were a Mork and Mindy fan, but Mork's greeting was Nanu Nanu, so I keep thinking of Nanu Nanu Banu of Yanu. When I select my bracket, I enter it in contests, but I know it's, you know, the odds of winning these things are one in a gazillion, outside of the woman who used my picks and last year won a trip to this year's Final Four National Championship game. That's crazy. But I asked her, remember I was talking about, like, how did she even get there? She finished in the top one percentile. She sent me her Final Four. The only team she had in the Final Four from last year's Final Four was UConn. And she had them winning, but I got to believe others had UConn winning. So she must have really racked up most of her points in the early rounds, because I'm guessing others had UConn winning. Now, granted, I don't think a lot of people had. I mean, who had a Final Four last year of UConn, Miami, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego State? There's no way. Outside of being alumni of those schools, why would you even put them in your Final Four? Banu, I'm just in awe that he's still on the show. He lucked out because of the injury to, was it Brandon last week? But he's not going to last. Even if somebody wants to take him to the finals and know they can beat him, I just think he's too much of a liability. Farmer wants a wife. I'm starting to think Reba was right about Joy. Theoretically, the goal is to get married, so to answer no when the guy asks if you have any questions for him is not great. I was half listening, but I think she may have also said something about lacking empathy. Also wondering how a guy can go on a show like this without being able to give a clear answer about wanting kids. All great questions. I agree with all of them. X Twitter. When Elon was buying it, he tried to get out of the deal by claiming there were too many bots, fakes, accounts. As I view him as an evil person who wants to make money from disinformation, hate, and division, I very rarely post on it. Since his takeover, I somehow get daily alerts that women with hot pics, a handful of followers, and thousands of follows are following me. I guess he is now embracing the bots. Do you look at your new follows to see if they are real? Does it matter? No, I don't. I look at mentions, like if somebody tweets at me, I usually see those. But my followers, yeah, I don't get notified on new followers and stuff like that. So I have no idea what the bot situation is on Twitter. But yeah, if all of a sudden you are being followed by hot women with thousands of followers, I'm guessing, yeah, they are bots. So, hey, Steve, you have been reviewing and spoiling The Bachelor shows for quite some time. If you were able to instill three improvements for the franchise, like ABC gave you your suggestions and they actually put them in place regardless of what they were, what would they be? The show is obviously a financial success for ABC as well as many of the contestants. I am curious as to what changes you feel you could make, big improvements for the franchise. Well, I don't know if I could come up with three, but the one that I've harped on for a while now is, and they're doing a better job of it, is the social media aspect of the show. And they've really done a better improvement on that. And the one thing I say I would go after, even though it's a blatant ripoff of what F-Boy Island did since they did it first, is I would allow the lead one episode when it's down to maybe 6, 8, maybe 10 contestants to look at every contestant remaining their Instagram account and be able to grill them on it. Maybe on a group date, maybe even, you know, for the whole group. I don't know. One-on-one. I want to do it for a majority of the people that are left because I think it's a great segment. Yes, it would be an absolute blatant ripoff of what F-Boy Island did, but I think that's one of the best segments that F-Boy Island did on their show. There was always one episode dedicated to the women on that show being able to look through all their men Instagram page and then be able to question them like, hey, I saw this. What's this all about? I see you out partying a lot. What's this all about? Is this your life? I think that's a great, great segment for reality TV. And for the show, this is something that would kind of be breaking the fourth wall because we know the second they leave for filming, everybody's phone is off. You don't have any contact with the outside world. So this would be breaking down that wall. And if F-Boy Island can do it, I don't see why Bachelor can do it, but I don't think Bachelor ever will because they know they would basically be ripping off another show since F-Boy Island decided to do it first. Hey, Steve, so glad you are feeling better and doing well. Not a Bachelor-related question, but since you are also a wrestling fan like myself, I want to know your thoughts on a few wrestling things. Out of the current roster at WWE, who is your favorite wrestler? Okay, I know that sounds like such a simple question, but are you actually asking me about wrestling skills or just who I like watching on TV? Because I think there's two completely different questions. Wrestling skills-wise, I mean, Seth Rollins is a good wrestler. Ricochet is one of the most underrated wrestlers in the WWE. But I'm telling you right now, I am absolutely a mark for Logan Paul because I'm so impressed with what this kid did. Because in the past, when you have someone like him that comes into an established federation like WWE, basically everyone in the locker room hates a person like that because they feel like they didn't pay their dues. You know, most of these guys, Seth Rollins said it on Monday night, he's been in the business for 20 years. Yet here comes Logan Paul, and within the first year he's in the in WWE, he's winning titles, you know? But give all the credit in the world to Logan Paul because you hear everybody talk about him, and while he may be a horse's ass off, you know, his persona and all that and what he's done in the past, he seems to have been apologized for, but what he's doing in the WWE is absolutely remarkable for a person who was not a wrestler, did not grow up in the business, did not take years and years of training. He's an outstanding, not just a good wrestler, he's an outstanding wrestler. He's very entertaining to watch. His character development has been awesome. I don't want to say he's my favorite wrestler, but I'm enjoying watching him on my TV. What are your thoughts on CM Punk's comeback before his recent injury and what this might look like he's back? Well, he's going to be on Raw next Monday. That'll be interesting because it's going to be from Chicago. I really think they are building up Drew McIntyre, so when CM Punk comes back, he will beat him. So I do think that Drew McIntyre might be winning and beating Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, and then McIntyre will lose the title to Punk when Punk is returns from his injury. Because they're definitely setting that up. Every single promo that Drew McIntyre cuts, he has to mention CM Punk and how he put him out and, you know, put him on the shelf and stuff like that. So there's a reason they're doing that, because the second Punk is back, he's coming after Drew McIntyre. And it would make it more relevant if McIntyre had a title around his waist. But it sucks. You know, I'm worried about Punk only because he obviously is getting older. How many times did he get injured in AEW? Like every time they pushed him, he got injured. So the Royal Rumble, his very first match back in WWE, tears his triceps, something he did in AEW. So I just worry that the guy can't stay healthy, and that's unfortunate because I don't know if he's the greatest wrestler in the world anymore. He can't be at the age he is, but he's still entertaining television. Will Cody Rhodes finish his story and beat Roman on night two at WrestleMania? Any other thoughts on WrestleMania? Honestly, I'm going back and forth on this because there's a part of me that's like, my gosh, how can they build up Cody, give him the title shot last year, and he loses it when everybody thought he was going to win it, and then bring him back again this year? It's hard to see him losing 2 years in a row because then what's the story? What's the storyline if he can't finish his story twice? But then there's a part of me that's like, this is a big thing that Roman Reigns has held the title as long as he has, and you know, you figure they want him to pass Hogan. And he has to win at WrestleMania for him to have any shot at of passing Hogan, because if he keeps it, if he wins at WrestleMania, the next time he's going to lose it wouldn't be till SummerSlam. And if he gets to SummerSlam still as the champion, he passes Hogan for most days as champion. And I got to believe that's in the cards because he's so close. Why would you have him lose it now? But then I look at Cody, I'm like, boy, people are going to be very, very upset and be like, what the hell is going on with this storyline if he keeps getting shots at Roman and loses? So honestly, I'm going back and forth. I don't know. Since WrestleMania is in Philly, do you think there's a chance we see Jason Kelsey and possibly Travis somehow participate in the show given they are big WWE fans? It's possible. I don't know what their plans are, but I mean, if you saw them sitting ringside, would you be surprised? Maybe they don't participate, but I see them being there or being backstage and maybe getting an interview. I would see that. I think it would be a missed opportunity if the WWE didn't do it. But then again, maybe Travis is in Bora Bora with Taylor and they're just sipping Mai Tais under an umbrella and he's not going to be back in time. I don't know. I hear they're on a tropical vacation right now. Maybe they're going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks. I have no idea. And do you watch AEW is the last question. I record it every week. When I go back and watch it, it takes me maybe 15 to 20 minutes to watch the whole show because I fast forward through a lot. I just want to see who's wrestling who wins. and any promos that any of the big stars cut. I just can't sit there and watch 2 hours of 20 to 25 minute matches. It's just not for me. I'm more on the entertainment factor. Now, that's not to say I sit there and watch Raw for 3 hours every Monday night. I watch it every Monday. Well, I record it. I don't watch it on Mondays because obviously Bachelor is on. But when Bachelor isn't on, I'll watch it on Monday nights, but I'm fast forwarding through most of it. Again, I'm not the big wrestling fan. I'm more into storylines, so I don't need to watch the matches. I'll fast forward through most of the matches until I'm seeing that we're getting towards the end, and then I'll just hit play and watch the ending and then see what happens in the aftermath, because that's what wrestling really is nowadays. It's not about the matches. That's why WWE and AEW are so different. WWE is more about characters and storytelling, whereas AEW focuses on the matches itself. And I just, on a Wednesday night, don't need to sit around and watch a 25 to 30 minute wrestling match. Even though their matches are better and they have a lot more better technical wrestlers in AEW, I just don't think it's as compelling. But do I follow along and want to know the storylines, who's champions, who's beating who? Yeah, I do. And finally, this one, my favorite email of the week. And when I say favorite, I'm being sarcastic. I'm really hoping they choose Maria for the next Bachelorette. She would be a really fun season. If they choose Daisy, I probably wouldn't watch. Her vocal fry really grates on my nerves. Kelsey's was just as bad, but thank goodness she's not in the running. Again, this is coming from somebody. I'm assuming the person who wrote this has full hearing. And again, it's very ableist for you to say something like that to somebody who really can't even hear their own voice and don't really know how they sound when they talk to people. So if everybody who's saying that a woman who is deaf and hard of hearing has a vocal fry, it's just like, why don't you just go up to their face and tell them you can't stand them? Like, it's bad. People, you got to stop saying, I understand that maybe you don't like her voice, but why do you need to voice it? Why do you need to voice that you don't like her voice? She's deaf and hard of hearing. There's a reason she talks the way she does. I just can't believe people are doing this, but so it is. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also, rate and review. Today, I'm going to post the weekly podcast. I don't want to do it when I'm in Vegas. It's just an extra step for me. I just want to get it out of the way now. And it's a good interview with Dave Neal. Dave's always around. We talk about his comedy show coming up next Thursday night with Clayton Eckerd in Phoenix. There's still tickets available. Plenty of tickets available. Check it out on Dave's site. We talk about the case with Laura Owens. We talk about The Bachelorette. And we talk a lot about stand-up comedy, you know, one of my favorite topics to talk to Dave about. So check that out. That's going to be on podcast number 383. I'm going to post that today. And so tomorrow, there's not going to be anything on the website other than, well, nothing on the website. But tomorrow, obviously, you still get your daily roundup and your sports daily, which will be recorded in my hotel room tomorrow night. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts, rate and review. But you got to hit play. Downloads into your feed every morning do not count as downloads anymore. So you got to hit play. Again, Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. And your reader emails were part of this podcast today. So there you go. Thanks again for listening. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you from Las Vegas tomorrow. See you.